Amen. Yep. Am I on? Tonight we're going to be starting a series and calling Refocus. And if you haven't seen it yet here tonight, we have much reason to refocus. Amen. There are so many distractions that are going on, even in this place tonight. You know, there's so many things that we can focus on that are the wrong thing, that'll take up our time and our energy. There's so many things that we can focus on. And so we're going to take these next couple weeks to focus on who we are at Living Hope, Brian. We're going to focus. Y'all saw the thing. We're about loving God and loving people. And we're going to talk about that in week three, about exactly what that's going to look like. But man, we could focus on so many things. And I love the fact that the big eye, did that kind of creep some of y'all out, you know, about the big eye in there? But I'm going to tell you what, sometimes we need to be shaken so we'll get our eyes open to the things that are important. Amen? And so what we're going to look at tonight, we're going to look in Acts. I mean, because our vision, man, our eyes must be opened at times. Because otherwise, if we're just focusing on the things around us, we don't see the things of God and we don't see other people. Because I'll tell you, unless you're not like me, sometimes you get caught up in what's going on right here, huh? And you can't even see beyond you. And other people and other things aren't even important to you because you've got so much going on in your own personal life. Amen? And so what we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at some different things. But tonight, we're going to have a little different service here tonight. We're going to have a special time tonight here. At the end of our service, we're going to be ordaining our deacons. We don't have deacons, we have deacons, okay? So we're going to be ordaining our deacons tonight. And all that means is there's a group of men in here that we have set apart because of who they are and the service part of this deal. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit. But the position in the deacon, and I just want to let y'all know, the position of deacon in the church is one of the greatest pictures of Jesus' heart for the church. And you say, why do you say that, Alan? Because deacons are servants. And that's what we're all called to do. In Matthew 20, 26 through 28, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." See, that statement comes on the context of a mother asking Jesus, "Hey, can one of my sons sit on your right side and one of my sons sit on your left side?" And Jesus said, that's not the place for them. He said, and that's where this came from. Whoever wants to be great must become your servant. And the reason that we become servant, it says the Son of Man did not come to be served. He is a great example for us, our Christ is, of being a servant. He said, to give his life as a ransom for many. And you know, because we talk about service, we talk about loving God and loving people. And part of that loving people is serving people. See, we do the things that we do in this church because of other people that we don't even know yet. Okay? That's why we do what we do. And so as we serve people to give his life as a ransom for many, we really need to begin as individuals to live our lives in a way that we can possibly rescue others. Okay? In serving them. And Jesus modeled this in servant leadership. And the word deacon is servant. The meaning of the word deacon means servant. And the first jobs of the deacons in the early church in Acts was to distribute or serve food to the widows. See, these men that we're going to look at tonight were known servants, okay? But I don't want y'all to get caught up in our deacons tonight, okay? Because we're here to worship our God. Okay, he is the one worthy of service, and he is the one that we serve with our hearts and the reasons that we serve. But tonight, before we look at our leadership of the church, I want us to look back at how the church even started, okay? Because the way this church started, we started with a core group of people that was at Living Hope College Station, and many of us were the outreach team, okay? And so as we started as a core group of people, we started by getting very active, you know, and y'all realize that how we did that, and some of the stuff that we ended up doing, man, we were doing a lot of stuff, and really we had to back off and do just what this video said. We had to back off and refocus. Why do you do what you do? Okay, and so many of us came from a core group, but I want us to look back tonight at how the church even started and where it started from, because it doesn't matter what we do if the heart that we do it behind is not correct. Okay, amen. Okay, so let's look back at how the church even started. I want us to look at the heart of the early church and evaluate where we are as individuals as well as a corporate body. Okay, I'm going to tell you tonight, the early church is a convicting church. God blessed that church. The Holy Spirit was evident in that church. And so it's going to be a convicting time tonight. But I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some things that we can learn from those believers, okay? And then this week, we're looking at how the church started. Next week, we have David Carroll from Gospel for Asia coming. And so next week, we're going to be looking past ourselves. This week, we're looking back at how the church started. Next week, we're going to be looking past ourselves, because every one of us is called in some form or way to reach the ends of the earth, okay? Whether it be through prayer or whatever. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to do a little plug right now. Every one of you, and I'm going to tell you, this came from a challenge from Butch for me. I learned when I went to Haiti, Butch said, you know, you got to go on a foreign mission. And I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't until I went there myself that my eyes were opened. And that's what we're talking about. Before you can have vision for the ends of the earth, your eyes need to be open to what that looks like, okay? So every one of us need to begin that process of getting our passports and things like that, because you never know when God's going to call you to go do something like that, okay? And so that one was for free, you know, for sure. And so we're going to be looking for David Carroll from Gospel for Asia is going to come, and hopefully he's going to open our eyes to where it'll get to our heart, to where we'll look past ourselves and look to the ends of the earth. And we're going to finish up our vision series by looking ahead and see that God has given the vision that God has given us as a local body to be a blessing to our community and to glorify Him. We're going to look at some of the things that we've done, and we're going to look at some of the things that we feel like God is calling us to do. Okay, and so that'll be week three. But with this week, we're going to start with how the church started, and I want to pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for these people. Lord, I look around and I see servants in this room, Lord. But I also, God, I look around and I see those who still need a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit, God, that they need that from you. And they need that plugging, Lord. And so I pray tonight, Lord, as we look, Lord, your church and your message will come out clear tonight of what your church should look like. Amen. So how the church started. We're going to be looking in Acts 2. Okay, y'all turn over to Acts 2. We're going to be in Acts tonight. We're going to start in Acts 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard him speaking them in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own language? Verse 12, it says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. So what we see here in Acts, and this isn't the early church hadn't been formed yet. We see the Holy Spirit coming on a group of people that God told the disciples and a group of people that were waiting. He told them to wait until the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, you cannot build a church if you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we can do everything we want to, but until that word wait, when he told them to wait, I could preach a whole sermon on that wait, because y'all don't know how to wait. I don't know how to wait. Amen. None of us want to wait. And so we can learn even from that. We need to wait on the Holy Spirit. We need to wait on the guidance of God before we even make one step as a church, okay? And so what these people saw, they saw the power. They saw something happen. Man, my mouth's getting all dry. Something happened with these people. They saw the power of the Holy Spirit come on. They saw the people speaking the word of God in their own language, and it perplexed them, and they were like, what in the world is going on there? Church, I'm going to tell you what, we really need to be doing things in this church that would make the world say, man, what in the world is going on there? You know, these people saw, so it's the power of the Holy Spirit that we need in this church. Amen? I mean, we do not need to be doing things on our own. And so, church, we need to begin that process of saying, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do that only you can do? Okay? Understand that. And so what we see after that, we see the power of the Holy Spirit come on, that Jesus promised the disciples that it would come, and they were utterly amazed. Okay? Then what we see Peter, okay? This is something else that we need to see. Sometimes when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on, we see Peter stand up and address the crowd. We see instant leadership right here. We see Peter. This is the guy he denied Jesus three times, you know, and he did. Man, can I pray again? Father, Lord, I bow before you. I pray, God, that you would give us clarity here. Lord, as we look at these people as a challenge to us, God, I just pray for this message that it would go out boldly. Lord, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask for it now. God, thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Amen. And so we see here, we see Peter stand up and address the crowd. See, Peter had seen Jesus resurrected and had been restored, and where he had once denied Jesus, we see now a Peter that is full of the Holy Spirit. He stands up and he says, hey, these people aren't drunk. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. So Peter's trying to explain to them what had just happened there, okay? And in verse 21, he says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so Peter was trying to tell these people that he stood up boldly as a leader. And so sometimes we have to stand up as leaders and say, this is what's going on here. But Peter, I can imagine that Peter just immediately probably what he would wanted to do was to begin to talk about how the Lord restored him and all this other stuff that had happened to him personally. But here's what Peter did, and here's what we need here tonight, okay? In verse 22, he said, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. See, Jesus said, this guy, Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to God by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you know. He said, you saw Jesus. You saw this man, and you know the things that he'd done, and you saw him. So this man handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. Peter saw an opportunity to preach God's word, and he didn't just say, hey, it's going to be all right, okay? Peter said, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. And that's what Peter did. He went straight to the problem. He went to the problem of sin, and that's our problem, folks, tonight. Although we may have been deceived by someone else, you know, because he said, you know, and he kind of softened up his message a little bit right here. He said, and you, with the help of wicked men, he said, you didn't do this on your own, but with the help of wicked men, you put Jesus to death by nailing him to the cross. And I want to tell you here tonight, that's where we're at. That's where we sit, you know. That's where we begin to get that heart, okay? And so the problem is our sin. And although we may have been deceived by someone, we're still accountable for our personal sin. Amen? But the greatest part of this verse right here says, but God. See, in our sins, we were dead in our sins. He said, but God raised him from the dead. Amen? But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for to death to keep his hold on him. Peter said, you killed Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, that's a great place to start with the heart of the church. Amen? Verse 36 through 41, he keeps on preaching at them. He said, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. He sticks with them. He said, God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Basically, he told them, you crucified the Christ. Even though you didn't know it, you crucified the Christ by putting him on the cross. And this is the group that started the first church, okay? And then what they said to Peter and the other apostles, they said, brothers, man, what shall we do? What are we going to do about that? What do we do at this? And when the people heard this, I got a little bit ahead of myself. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And I'm going to tell you what, church, that is where it all starts a lot of times. We have to remember back. I want y'all to remember back with me the time when you got that clarity, when you had that aha, that eye-opening moment of, man, I am wrong and he is right. I've been walking this way and the way I'm walking is wrong, but he is right. We have that aha moment and then we are cut to the heart. At some point in your life, the reality of your sin and actions has got to become real to you. Amen? And there's personal accountability to our sin. I mean, we all must get to that point to where we say, man, I cannot believe I did that to Christ. I cannot believe I did that. And we're cut to the heart, and that begins to change the motivations of what we do. And we're going to see this group, what that did to them. They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do with this? Now, we know we're the ones who crucified Jesus, but what are we to do about it? And here's what we all do. He said, brothers, Peter replied, repent. And all repent is to turn from your wicked ways, okay? Oh, man. This is sweet tonight, huh? Repent. Turn from your ways. He tells them to repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so he said, so that's what we have to do. We have to repent. We have to turn from our sins, change the direction of our life, and we become a new creation, right? That's what happens. We don't just turn from our sin also, though, but see, when you repentance is a total about face, and it's not just turning from your sin, it's actually turning to Jesus. And he told them to be baptized, and this is another thing that we need to do as a body, okay? If we're going to be the church in this community that people need to see, first of all, we need to be cut to the heart, to the fact that we fall short of the glory of God. Then we need to repent. We need to repent of our sins. The people in this community don't need to see a bunch of Christians that are out there acting like they've got it going on. They need to see a bunch of people who said, you know what? I did wrong. I'm going to begin to change. And people that know us, I knew this guy like this, but I'm going to tell you what, he's different now. A turn and about face. He's a new creation to be able to, for people to come and be able to see that. We have got to be, that's what we've got to be. We've got to be people who are willing to repent. It says, and be baptized. And baptizing, what we're doing in baptism, we're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about being just the act of baptism. I'm talking about what baptism portrays, okay? Baptism portrays that we are buried with Christ in baptism. And then we're raised to walk in a newness of life. We die to ourselves, and then we come up from that baptism and live for Jesus. That's what people need to see. They need to see the fact that we have died in Christ, and now we are living for Him. And that's what they see. And we want them to see our good deeds, not that they will glorify us, but that they will glorify our Father in heaven. Amen? Baptism. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And see, here's where it gets good, folks. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what we're talking about. This power that came on like a rushing wind in this house is the same power that's available to you when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior in your heart. Then you're able to do things that you never were able to do before. You're able to speak to people that you were never able to speak to before, okay? You're able to do things. The power of the Holy Spirit, with that comes power to live this out. It comes comfort. And it comes to truth. The Holy Spirit brings truth to every situation. No more deception. See, these people had been deceived by the religious leaders. These people had been deceived. They had been, like he said, you by the help of wicked men are the ones who killed Jesus. These people had been deceived. And he said, the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. With many other words, I mean, you look at that right there. The promise is for you and your children whom the Lord will call, and for all whom the Lord will call. And that just puts our focus back on the fact that it's not about us. It's about those we do not even know. There are lost people out there in the streets of Bryan that need to hear about our Jesus. There's lost people in College Station that need to hear about our Jesus. I'm going to tell you, there's lost people everywhere. We've got to love God and love people. And our love for God starts with us obeying, repenting, being baptized, live that life the way that he had called us to do, But then it always is to love, is to overflow into the lives of other people. Okay? It is never about you. The gospel is a free gift to you, but it isn't yours to keep. It's yours to give away. That's the only reason he gave it to you, to be a good steward of it and give it away. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and for whom the Lord will call. Many other words he warned them and pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourself. That seems kind of weird that he would tell them to save yourselves, huh? Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. We can't save ourselves if we wanted to, but I'm going to tell you what, it takes an action on our part to make that first step, okay? You can hear the gospel over and over and over until you respond to it. You haven't done anything. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. You know, that seems to be kind of a hard message, huh? Repent, be baptized, die to yourself, live for Jesus, serve others. That seems to be a message that wouldn't fill a church. I'm going to tell you what, in one day, they had 3,000 people. And that's where the church started, okay? That's where the church started. It started from a bunch of people, a group of people that had just been rebuked, convicted, and saved. So we got a heart that you can really build on right there. You got the church, a group of people that had been convicted, rebuked, and then it became saved. These are people who were broken over their sin and the deception that was created by their culture. See, I'm going to tell you, when I first came to Living Hope, I came from a little old church where, man, I had the religion thing down, okay? We were going to church every Saturday. We wasn't going to church on Saturdays, I'm sorry. We were going to church every Sunday, all right? And I'm going to tell you, I had no spiritual growth. I went to Living Hope, and when they first began, and I came and I saw a group of people who were living this out, okay? People who were serving, people who were working, and I saw something that I never had seen before. And so I saw, and you know what I saw? It's just what I'm telling y'all here. I saw the power of the Holy Spirit being displayed in people's lives, okay? That's what I saw. Now, it wasn't shaking the building, but it was shaking my building. Because I began to see things that I had never seen before. I began to see a pastor who not only preached it, but he lived it, you know. I began to see people who were serving, and I saw deacons. And when they asked me to be a deacon, I was like, man, I don't want no part of being no deacon. Because I done seen the negative impact of what people say about deacons, okay. The deacons in my church ran everybody off. They wasn't serving nobody, you know. And so I went to this meeting, and same thing that we did with our deacons. We do an interview. Man, I sat down at that interview, and I was like, ain't no way I'm going to be no deacon. But they asked me to come, so here I am, you know. And I sat across there, and I remember Butch was in there, and some different ones were in there. And I said, who are the deacons in this church? And they started naming off names. And these were the guys stacking the chairs. These are the guys sweeping the floors. These were the guys that was working their tails off. These were the guys that didn't want no credit for nothing, okay? That was those guys. And I said, I'm in. I'm in with those guys. If that's what a deacon is, that I'm in. And so that's something that we've got to realize. I'm going to get all out of place over here. But these people were broken over their sin and the deception that their culture, and I guess that's where I was going to, I felt like I was deceived. And so what we see here, that these are areas that we continue to need to be fighting against. Because our culture tells us that you know, we can just come to church whenever we want to. If we got something better, we don't have to come to church, okay? And some religion tells you if you just do these set of rules and stuff like that, if you'll just do that, you'll find favor with the Lord. But I don't need that. I don't need that. I need the truth, okay? And the response of these people is beautiful and challenging to us all. And this is the most familiar part of Acts 2, 42 through 47. And so you have these people. They were deceived by their culture. They were deceived by the religious leaders. They actually had a part in killing Jesus. And Peter comes to them, speaks to them, breaks their heart, and they repent and baptize. And here's the kind of actions that we see in church. This is convicting, okay? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Man, these were committed people. And, you know, I was thinking about that. I said, why were they so devoted to the apostles' teaching? I'm going to tell you one thing. When you've been deceived, see, I was hard-headed. Well, I'm still hard-headed, all right? I was hard-headed when I was lost about certain things, but I'm going to tell you what, when I finally began to get the truth, when I finally began to say, you know what, this stuff is real, this Christianity is real, this is real, when I got that, I'm going to tell you what, I'm just hard-headed about Christ as I am about anything else now. You can't change my mind. See, because I'm devoted to the apostles' teaching. I'm devoted to rebuke for my brother. I'm devoted to listen to him. You know what? Because he has never really ever steered me wrong. He's human, but I'm devoted to the apostles' teaching. Okay, I'm devoted to learning, and I'm devoted, and they were devoted to growing in God's word. I mean, we're devoted to a lot of things. That word devoted means we're committed to it. Okay, you hard-headed to this. Okay. Devoted to the teaching. And these people were so devoted to the teaching. The reason they were devoted to the teaching, because they had been deceived already before. So now it's like, look, I don't want that anymore. This proved right. I'm going to believe everything that the Word of God says. And see, and that's where we're at. When God's Word is right and our culture and religion are wrong, when there's ever a conflict, okay? That's why you need to know God's Word. And I'm going to tell you, there's something just on my heart that I see in this church, okay? I see in this church and I see in other churches, but it really breaks my heart when I see it in this church. People returning to the ways of the world after receiving the truth. I'm going to tell you what, that breaks my heart, you know. And this is a side note, but I'm going to tell you what, this is something that's on your pastor's heart right now. There are people in our body that turn. I mean, they've had some amazing times with the Lord, and then all of a sudden you look at them and they're doing some of the same things before. I'm going to suggest to you the reason that happens a lot of times is because they're not devoted to the apostles' teaching. The Word of God is not the final authority in their life, okay? We have people that leave here, and it's really kind of crazy because we have great fellowship and great accountability in all the Living Hopes, okay? And all the churches that we planted from here, there's great accountability. And if you're looking to join this church, there's going to be accountability. You cannot sneak around in here and we don't find out about it because we love y'all, okay? There's great accountability in this church. You know, that may not be a popular message, but that's the message that you're going to hear, okay? That's the way it is here. And if you go over to Living Hope College Station, that's the way it is at Living Hope College Station. That's the way it is at New Life, because we all have the same DNA, okay? That's the way it is over there. I mean, I hear people leave, can't find a church in another town, then go creep back into the lifestyle that they had when they first came to Living Hope. You know why? Because they were devoted to hanging out. We're fun to be around. But they never did let the apostles' teaching and the Word of God impact their heart to the point to where no matter where they're at, they're going to live for Jesus. Okay? And they were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to the church as a whole, the community, okay? We've done all this talking in front of, I've stumbled around like crazy at the beginning, but I'm going to tell you, well, we're getting to the part that I really feel is the part that we need to look at here tonight. They were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to the church as a whole, the community of the church. And you know, people say, man, it's legalistic. Say, just come, that you need to be coming to church. I'm going to tell you what, you need to be coming to church. You need to be devoted to attendance. You need to be devoted, because when we're talking about devoted to the fellowship, we're talking about me as your pastor. I'm talking about this personal fellowship right here, okay? If we're going to love God and love people, we're going to live authentic Christian lives, if we're going to allow God to change us, we got to be devoted to each other. We got to hang around with each other, okay? We're devoted to the fellowship. We got to be devoted to attendance of service. And we got to be devoted to our witness. When you leave here, you still represent me. If you bought a shirt, you sure do. Don't be wearing that shirt out there if you're going to act a fool, okay? There's a witness that we have in this community, and we do not want to ruin it by people out there just living like they want to because they're not devoted to the witness of this fellowship, okay? And it's your responsibility as a member of this church to take care of the needs of this church, whether it be financial, physical, whatever, you know? It's your responsibility. And it's your responsibility for the mission to lift up Christ and to make him known in this community as Living Hope, Brian. It's your responsibility to do that. These people here, I can tell you one thing. You didn't have to drag them to church. Amen? They came to church because they met daily. And they wasn't just those convenient attenders. And man, when a family reunion, ball game, whatever. And no, David said it's not wrong to go to the ball game. I'm gonna tell you what. Remember this church on Saturday. It's wrong for you to go to the ball game. All right, you signed up and said you're a member of this church. It's wrong to go to the ball game. All right, we're moving to Sunday, so you can go to the ball game. You know, don't go. Man, honestly, the convenient attending I just don't get it. I just don't get it that where when something better comes up, Jesus is out. I don't understand that. I really do not understand that because God changed me. All right? I'm devoted to this church. There's something going on there's something wrong with you. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with you if you could just forsake the assembling of yourself and not feel bad about it. And to the breaking of bread. That means it's more than just Sunday, okay? As a member of a church and as a member of this church, we're authentic fellowship. I think so. Is that what it said on there? Authentic fellowship. If we're going to say that, we better do that. Okay? We can't just meet here as a group of people and say, hey, we had our little time. I'm going to tell you what, there are people that need to meet in your home. There's people that need more than what we give them here. They need you. They need what God has. They need to hear the struggles in your life. They need to hear from you. They need to hear what God has done in your life. And so we need to have them over to our homes, okay? We need to be proactive. We need to be a family. If we're going to say it, we better do it, okay? To the breaking of bread. And that's the Lord's Supper as well. I mean, we do things here, and that breaking of bread is talking about the Lord's Supper as well. I mean, and that's in the Lord's Supper, and what we're going to do Wednesday over at Living Hope College Station is a beautiful picture of unity. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's a fellowship family meal, okay? And they were devoted to those things. So why don't y'all come Wednesday? Okay? But we're devoted to that. They invite us over there. It's a sign to this community, College Station, and it's a sign to them that look, these churches, even though they're over there and they do things different, they got a bunch of crazy people and they're all, everyone over there, but these people still love each other. They still like to meet together. They're devoted to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Every one of us could say we need to pray more, amen? Pray more, amen? And this devotion to prayer, and I'm going to tell you what this means. This means you depend on God for everything. You ask God for everything. The littlest thing, the biggest thing. You ask God for everything. And when I say devoted to prayer, I'm not talking about just the prayer warriors. When you come across somebody in the community, if we're going to be the church that we're talking about being, when you come across someone in the community, I'll turn you over to the prayer team. I'm going to tell you what, we need to be devoted to prayer, people. And it doesn't need to be coerced. If I got to coach you to pray, something's wrong, okay? I'm going to tell you what, I have to pray. Even though sometimes what I do doesn't seem like that is going on all that great, I'm going to tell you what, I pray. I pray because I know I need God. Sometimes I get out in front of God. Sometimes I do things that I shouldn't do. But I'm going to tell you what, I know I need God, and so do you. I know I need God. And so the prayer, the devotion to prayer is not just The devotion to prayer is not just for the pastors, not just for the leaders. It's for every one of us. Every one of us need to be praying about everything all the time. If you just don't know what to pray for, pray for me. I'll be selfish, okay? I need it, and so do you. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Did y'all hear me? God said the Lord added to their number daily. And y'all can go ahead and text the deacons over here because we're going to be talking about that. Our deacons tonight, it's crazy. We're going to have them back in here in a minute. We're going to pray over them. But those guys, they're back there serving right now. Amen. You know? They are modeling before us. They're in preschool right now. Two of the four deacons are in preschool right now. And I don't do that to glorify them. Because I'm going to tell you what. These guys are guys that we watch. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Okay? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But here we see what we have is the church growing daily. And can you just imagine growing daily, the needs and things that are coming up? And so this is where we see, as the church was growing in Acts 6. Y'all turn over to Acts 6 real quick for me, okay? Now enter the deacons into the scene, okay? In those days, in verse 1, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. And look at what the results of these guys being servants to the body did. So the word of God spread. The numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. See, it was because of the service of these guys and the wisdom of these leaders to say, you know what? We still need to be preaching the word, but we need there's some real needs that need to be taken care of. And so in come the deacons. And it said this meant there was a need, okay? So they chose some men among them. But here's the thing. Here's what I want you to look at as we transition into the deacons. Because here's the thing. A church is only good as its leaders. All right? Servant leadership has to be from the head down, okay? And so as a body, that's what we need to see. So these weren't just any men, you know, these weren't just good servants, these just weren't hard workers. There were some qualifications that they had. They had to be men known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, okay? That's why we don't just pick any men as leadership here. The process that we're watching. I'm going to tell you, we're watching y'all. We're watching y'all, all right? We already know. We're not going to pick you to be a deacon candidate if you're not already serving, okay? We're looking to see the men known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom that are already serving, that really don't even want the job. And when you tell them, they're like, oh, my God, I don't know way, you know? But there's some other qualifications there. These are qualified men. And if y'all come, you and your wives will come sit on this first row over here as I'm talking about the deacons here. 1 Timothy 3:8-12, deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truth of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested. See, they must first be tested. That's what we do. We are watching, even in this body, in our community groups and things like that, to test it. Every one of these guys has been tested. Every one of these guys... we have seen that they were already servants. And I'm going to tell you what, when their names came up, we were like, man, we can't get these guys. They're doing too much. And I got with them expecting some of them to say, man, I'm the children's minister. You know, I'm the prayer leader. I'm doing this. I can't do this. These guys said, man, we just want to serve. That's what I'm talking about, folks. That's the kind of people that we need, okay? And it said, in the same way, it says they must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and if there's nothing against them, let them serve as a deacon. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. See, this is a pair here. The wives are as much a part of it as anything as well, okay? A deacon must be a husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. And that term, husband of one wife, means he's a one-woman man, okay? And at Living Hope Bryan, in Living Hope College Station, we adopted, we take a broader look, a biblical look at what that means. See, while divorce is never God's ideal will, okay, God's bigger than any divorce. It's never his ideal will. There are scriptural examples where God permits divorce. Okay, Matthew 19:9, where we have the unfaithful spouse, okay? And then in 1 Corinthians 7:15, married to an unbeliever, an unbeliever leaves, okay? So there is the opportunity there for a deacon to possibly be a deacon if there has been a divorce in his history before, okay? But that's where the interview comes in. We've come in, we speak to those. And another thing that we feel very strongly on is that we're not held accountable to the things that we did when we were lost. Okay? So if you weren't a believer back then, and then God radically changed you, you are what? You're a new creation. The old is gone, and the new, you're another person. We can't hold you accountable for what you did back then, okay? And so with that, that's we want to present these guys to you, okay? And the role of our deacons, the people we're going to recognize tonight are Barney and Joanne Phillips, Carlos and Kayleen Carprio, Sherman and Rachel Waters, and Fernando and Kathy Aguetti. Did I do good on that one? But this is the roles of these guys, okay, body? This is what the leadership, this is what you can expect from these guys, okay? The deacons are to be a resource for families. A resource for families. Y'all get to use them up, all right? Resource for families and communication and needs and even possible counseling. See, these guys are men known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. They are able to counsel, so if you can't get in touch with an elder, you can get with a deacon, okay? And they're going to be a resource for the community groups. There's going to be community group leaders that may need a deacon to come in. So you'll be assigned a deacon. And we help assimilate new members into the body. When we get new people, these guys come in alongside them and make sure they get into a community group and a ministry team. Because that's the best way to stay connected with the body. And they oversee the service. The reason that some of these chairs are up, we got some other guys set up the chairs. They look over this. They make sure it gets done. They may not do it themselves, but they get to let other people do that. And they'll be a valuable resource for the direction and the vision of this church. And guys, we challenge y'all to help mentor prospective deacons. These guys that we're watching and stuff, we want you to pour into their lives, okay? And so if I can have you guys and your wives stand. To deacons, after meeting the qualifications and being tested and interviewed, do you accept this role of servant leadership at Living Hope Baptist Church, Brian? Yes, can I say it again? I want to hear it loud. Yes. Enthusiasm, there we go. Thank you. And y'all be seated. That was just probably a preliminary, these guys have already been serving. And so what we're going to do, they've already been accepted by the body. We put them to work the day they said yes, And we gave them a job, right, guys? From the meeting, we gave y'all a list of guys. And I said, man, I ain't messing with no chairs no more. Y'all go ahead on, And it's been a blessing because I never even have to look back because these guys are faithful, okay? And so what we're going to do tonight, we're going to end tonight's time of praying. The elders are going to pray over the deacons. But I didn't want this just to be just us praying over them. With a message like this and a challenge from the early church, I want to open this up in our time of worship. Matt and y'all can come on up. The elders are going to come up and we're going to be praying over the deacons. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of things on the horizon here for Living Hope, Brian. A lot of things that need to be prayed over. There's a lot of things in people's lives that need to be worked on. That maybe tonight you've even convicted that maybe you're not even a believer. Okay, so what we're going to do as the elders are praying over here, we're going to have a worship set, and we're going to allow any one of y'all to come up and pray for your leaders. Please pray for your leaders. Okay. Please pray for, and you can come and just respond to the Lord however you want to. But I want this to be a special time of prayer. You can pray in there. Elders, if y'all will come up. And we're going to pray over you guys. And then when we get done, I'm going to come up and pray over the whole thing. And then we're going to take offering. So guys, when I come up to pray offering, y'all get ready. And then we're going to be dismissed, okay? So respond to the Lord however you feel.